Thanks for listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. Now, coming to you live from the banks of the Willamette River, it's Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman.
You've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value.
Online at 620kpoj.com and on the air at AM 620 KPOJ.
I want you to get up right now and go to the window and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. Thank God for it, if you believe in God, or just thank Clear Channel. Well, just this is a good thing that we have it. This is the third hour, and we're going to get a little crazy with a guy named Bo Rinaldi. Recently met him. He is the owner of a company, among many other things, called Real Power Foods. The topic we're going to be talking about is food as revolution. This is your kind of card-carrying revolutionary like myself. Thinks that it's time for radical change. And he thinks the way we do it is through food. And I'm going to play some clips, and I got some fun stuff, and this guy is wild, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun. But first, and he's going to bat it home for us. He's going to take us all the way through the end of the show. But there's something that I wanted to share with you guys. I don't even know if you heard about this. David Swanson is a good friend of the show. DavidSwanson.org is a great place to get information that you're never going to hear about anywhere else. This little story is comes from a category called Dodged a Bullet You Probably Didn't Even See Coming. In response to President Obama's invasion of Libya, where he authorized military force without congressional approval under at least preliminarily the auspices of the War Powers Act, after which he stuck his middle finger up at Congress and the War Powers Act and saying, I'm not even beholden to that. So what was the response from Congress to that? It was not to try to limit the presidential power or the power of the executive branch to wage wars without accountability to Congress. Actually, Senator John McCain from Arizona and Congressman Buck McKean, I think I'm saying that right, a Republican from California and chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, proposed an amendment to the Defense Appropriations Act of 2012 entitled Section 1034. Go ahead and Google that, and you'll find some interesting stuff. And in essence, what it would do would void the War Powers Act and cede to this president and any president heretofore the authority to start any war in any country without the approval of Congress and without being compelled to reveal the critical information that justified that action. I'm not overstating the case. This is what the response was to the president's action in Libya. They're like, this whole war powers thing gets really sticky. I'll tell you what, why don't we just give him the power to go to war? And I'm going to explain to you how to do this, because it makes the president a king. With the most powerful arsenal of weapons and military personnel in the world, or that the world has ever known, at his disposal. Now, we did dodge this bullet, and I'm going to give you a website where you can go pay back these people who kept this from happening. But here's how they plan to do it. This is what Section 1034, the amendment to the Defense Appropriations Act of 2012, read before it was stripped out. The first thing was is that it placed satellite imagery obtained either through government satellites or through commercial imagery. So anywhere that the government got this imagery, it was immediately out of the reach of the Freedom of Information Act. You could not get it. You could not petition it, right? So now it's like Joe McCarthy. We've got the names. Can I see the names? No, you can't see the names. We've got the images. Trust us, okay? Now, why would they want to do that? Because they don't want you to see the images, because they may or may not have the images, because they want to start unjustified wars without any accountability. And they want to cede this power to this president. Now, I've said before, I don't know that this is something that this is what this president came into this office wanting to do, where George Bush, I might have a different take on it. But nonetheless, he is accepting it. And this is like someone said, if it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck, it's a duck. The second approach is to do something they called, Congress calls affirmation authority, which grants the president, and I'm quoting now from the Amendment 1034, quote, the authority to use all necessary and appropriate force during the current armed conflict with Al-Qaeda, read endless war, the Taliban, read endless war, and the associated forces, read endless war, pursuant to the authorization for use of military force. So basically, the president can wage war against Al-Qaeda and the Taliban and anybody who's even remotely connected to those two organizations. He has full power without any accountability to Congress, and he doesn't have to reveal his imagery or any of the things that justify that action. It may almost made President Obama and every president heretofore a king. This is what David Swanson calls the imperial presidency. The goal here, to overturn the War Powers Act, right? Which demands that the president, after authorizing military obligation, must seek congressional authority within 72 hours, right? This just happened in Libya. Okay, we saw it. Barack Obama went to war without a congressional authority, but rather than reporting his justification to Congress and seeking approval, he simply wrote a letter notifying them and then declared that he wasn't bound by it, right? We already talked about that. Now, I'm sorry that I keep beating up on Barack Obama, because really, quite honestly, I don't want to. I really want him to be the guy that he promised, but this kind of stuff is outrageous. I mean, it would have made him a king with the power to authorize any war without any justification. This is the imperial presidency, and I think it's really important to understand that this goes beyond just the presidency. You've got to start to look at who's pulling the strings on things like this. I mean, if George W. Bush did this, we'd all be halfway to Canada by now. But you see, this isn't about any one president. That's why you've got Republicans pushing this amendment, because they want to get, because when they get the executive branch back, and they will someday, they'll be all set up to go. But it goes even beyond that, because where this kind of amendment is really coming from, and where I think is the source of all military evil in this country, is the Pentagon. The business end of the military-industrial complex, the liaison between the defense industry and government. So you've got to ask yourself, are these wars really being started by presidents and politicians? Maybe at the most superficial level, you know, only like on TV. Because the real power behind the endless wars that we keep fighting are a handful of incredibly rich and powerful people who make profit from war. These are the people that sneak these kinds of things in at the in the middle of the night when we're not looking. And they understand that policies outlast politicians and outlast presidents. Because what they need is the enduring legal basis to compel any president or politician to start any war of their choosing without any of those inconvenient encumbrances of democracy. And then all they have to do is lie and obfuscate to keep us all mystified. Now, to me, nobody in recent memory did a better job of this, of fronting this mad mindset of the Pentagon, than our good old buddy Donald Rumsfeld. The Rumsfeld clip goes like this. He says, there are things we know, and there are things we don't know. There is the known and the unknown. And then there are things that we know we don't know. And then there are things that we don't know that we don't know. Right. And they say, so what about the idea of Iraq being connected to 9/11? Is that what we know we don't know? Or is it what, you know? And he says, I won't even answer it. So he won't even get his own insane categories. You see, and the point is that we shouldn't know anything. And this time they almost got away with it. Could you imagine that we had a president, imagine Michelle Bachmann getting in there. And she can start a war without congressional authority, without accountability to the War Powers Act, without having to reveal any of the justifications for the war. It is the end of democracy. It is the end of accountability. And this time, they didn't get away with it because of an organization called Roots Action. RootsAction.org is the website. And because primarily of their efforts, the Section 1034 of the Defense Authorization Act of 2012 was removed from that act. So I want you to do me a favor and do yourself a favor and do this country a favor. I want you to log on at rootsaction.org and donate. Get their action emails, send them some money, tell them you appreciate what they did, and learn and pay attention, because that is key. This is where we started with this, that we've all got to get into the dance. I didn't even know about this, and I pay attention to these things. Guys like David Swanson are in the dance. How are you going to get into the dance? And it's important, I think, when we talk about getting into the dance, and we're talking about dancing out our protest, dancing out truth to power, bringing our joy, bringing our individuality with us. This is key. What aspect of you do you want to bring to the revolution? That's where the creative response is critical. We're going to talk to Bo Rinaldi. For him, the revolution is about food. That's where the change is going to take place. That's his passion. So this is what it means to dance at the revolution. What are you going to bring? Well, look within yourself. We talk about this a lot on the show, this notion of what mad as hell really means. Mad as hell isn't about rage. It's not about screaming at the top of our lungs, because when we move into rage, we lose our dignity. And the whole point is we're standing up for our dignity. That's the reason that we're mad as hell. There's an insult. There's an injustice being done to some basic human dignities. And what we do with that is not stuff it or get cynical or become discouraged. What we do is we look in and we say, what is our creative individual response to this injustice? And rootsaction.org started in somebody's head, in somebody's heart, in somebody's passionate being. And they said, I'm going to take a stand, and this is how I'm going to do it. What is your stand going to be? This show is my stand. This is what I'm doing now. Now, I hope in 5 years, you're going to say, well, what's he doing now? I mean, we have to constantly be reinventing it. But the whole world depends on our ability to respond to the crisis of our times. And that means we have to pay attention. And that means we have to get into the dance, like Roots Action got into the dance, like Erin DeRamis got into the dance with her righteous indignation, with her passion, with her conviction, with her belief that the world can be and will be, if enough of us stand up for it, the humane, loving, celebratory place that we want it to be. But it will never be if we defer to people like Barack Obama, I'm sorry, or if we defer to people like Donald Rumsfeld, people in the Pentagon. This current system of government does not honor what is human about us. It does not honor what is human about you. You must honor what is human about you and unleash your own creativity and get into the dance. We almost took a giant bullet on this, because when the executive branch gets power, it never gives it back. This is too close. It's too close for comfort, man. Get into the dance. When we come back, Bo Rinaldi is here from Real Power Foods. He's in the dance, and he's talking about food as revolution. Very cool guy. You're going to like him. You're listening to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman on AM 620 KPOJ. We'll be right back with the dance. Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. A little Peter Gabriel there, a little Bring Me Down. Just, I'm fired up today, man. I'm just all over the place. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. This is Mad as Hell in America, and I am your host, Adam Klugman, and I'm bouncing off the walls today, and I have a great guest I'm really excited about having on. His name is Bo Rinaldi, and after more than 50 years of being a dedicated vegan and 40 years as an unyielding counterculturist, Bo Rinaldi is one of the early pioneers in organic foods and calls himself a bloodless revolutionary, thinking of the way we eat and grow food and live with our food as a form of activism. He is founder of Real Power Foods. RealPowerFoods.com is the website. You might want to check it out while we're getting going here. And he is on a mission to change the world with food. He is also co-owner of the Blossoming Lotus Restaurant. I love the Blossoming Lotus Restaurants, along with award-winning gourmet chef Mark Reinfeld. He has written five best-selling vegan cookbooks on a style he calls vegan fusion. We're going to find out about all of that. Bo Rinaldi, welcome to the show, man.
Adam, you are and thank you. It is an honor, distinct honor. I'm not going to call you boss, but you're definitely on fire.
I'm on fire today. Yeah, you know, man. When I came in, I was like, I'm feeling a little low energy today. I called my brother. I'm like, I'm feeling low. I was whining at him. And I just came in and just like, I was like, I poured on gasoline.
I wish everybody could see you here because you are just lit up. You're animated. I love it.
I'm totally sober.
This is what got me here. When I first heard your show, I stood up. I actually started to cry the first time I heard it a few months ago. The hair stood up on the back of my neck. This is the brother we need.
Right on. Yeah. Well, Bo Rinaldi, Bo called me and we started talking and he started talking about food as revolution. This is his mission. He was into veganism before it was chic. So look, you say you've been a vegan for 50 years. Is that right?
Yeah. 51 years. Started when I was 12 years old.
12 years old. Tell us about that. 12-year-old vegan. This was quite some time ago. Tell us your story and why food is a form of activism.
Nice, Adam. Well, first of all, the disclaimer is do not listen to anything that I say. Do not treat me as a person giving you medical advice because I'm not.
Right, okay. This is your legal disclaimer.
No, this is the real deal. Try this all out for yourself because I tried this out for myself. I say that we're all a living laboratory. So that's where I'd like to start. I was 12 years old, Southern California, Los Angeles Basin. I had severe asthma and allergies. It was 1960. My mother and father were beside themselves. I could not breathe.
Really?
Okay, seriously.
Was that bad?
I couldn't breathe. I couldn't even go to school. And so they took me to the Mayo and the Scripps and the Johns Hopkins, literally doctors everywhere. A lot of kids were sick. I had really, really bad allergies. And my mother took me to a Seventh-day Adventist doctor. He gave my mother the book Back to Eden. I read the book Back to Eden cover to cover. In the book, he talks about cutting out wheat and meat and eggs and dairy. And also the second half of the book, it's still in publication. People can buy it in many stores. Second half of the book is herbal formulas. Within 2 weeks, I was cured of my asthma and allergies. I followed the book religiously.
2 weeks?
It took 2 weeks. Within 2 weeks, I was completely cured. I don't even remember being sick. I don't think, and I don't want to jinx anything, but I don't really relate to being sick. I don't think you need to be sick. I think sick is a form of our kind of mega industrial food complex and how that's put on us. So it came to me that all of a sudden, I'm in the 60s, shall we say, revolution, part of the Lovin generation, go to college in Southern California in 1966.
And you're 17, right?
And by now, 18, now I'm the vegan chef and the herbalist of the Southern California.
And you're deep into it, right?
I am.
And people haven't heard of it at this point, really?
People haven't heard of it. It's actually seen as kind of cool, but we helped bring vegetarianism. We thought vegetarianism was what was up. We didn't talk too much about veganism. I had studied it. I had learned about Pythagoras, which I'd like to talk about a little bit during the show.
Yeah, I want to get into that.
I had read a lot about something called the True Levelers, which people can check out. And lo and behold, the Lovins are happening. I can feed people for 50 cents a meal. I know how to stay healthy on basically nothing, essentially foraging. And I know that the industrial complex and the medical complex, whatever sheep's clothing they find themselves in, are really all part of the war machine. And so we were anti-war, obviously. We were pro-love. It was a free love generation, if anybody was there, and I'm sure a lot of our people that are listening were there. That idealism pervaded me even to this day, and we started a group. It was actually started by Peter Coyote. It was called The Diggers, and we fed the people. And we would read the things about food. Napoleon said, he who feeds the people controls the people.
Right.
We said, he who feeds the people frees the people.
Right on.
Loves the people. So if you go look at any Fillmore posters, that's us. We were the Diggers. We were serving with Janis Joplin, playing at the Panhandle, Sons of Chaplin, whatever. You can listen to the early Tom Donahue shows, K-San, Food by the Diggers. So people remember that there was free food at those events. And I still say, and that's why Food Not Bombs is somewhat a metaphor at this point. I love what they do. I'm not sure about all the aspects of it, but we have to feed each other. It's our entitlement as a social right to be able to feed ourselves, clothe ourselves, have education, and empower ourselves. That is what a true democracy is about, and that's where the food activism kicked in the 60s for me.
All right, so you're called the Diggers, but that's not the first time that the Diggers actually have a history and a kind of agrarian history in England. Hip us up to that. What's that
right
about?
So you have to be a little careful in that the Diggers were demonized as being a communist society. Really what they wanted to do,
this is like England 1649.
Very good. Yeah, Gerard
I did
Winstanley.
My research, nice. Man.
Yeah, Gerard Winstanley, they said that we're living in an imperialistic society. So you are now in an imperialistic society officially. This is an imperialistic society. This is an oligarchy. Okay, this is not. Right. This is powered by the few. So a lot of what we try to do, by the way, is with our food, we can get on the table of maybe the housewife is somebody that's a president of Archer Daniel Midland or something, and they start to see our way of living, an organic plant-based lifestyle, can actually change their kids' autism possibly now that they have, or their own depression, these types of things. So we'll talk about the healing nature of this movement because it's deep and it's profound. But the diggers in 17th century England said that if we were not going to pay our taxes and if we didn't have any gold or goats or women to give the king's men when they're coming by on their horses for their taxes, we can move to the edges of the forest, grow our own food, and literally drop out of society. So the diggers were a very profound organization that took from the early thoughts of people like Sir Francis Bacon and famous alchemist Paracelsus and early Pythagoras thought. They actually, to that day, upset the king's army so much that the king did not want the women. He didn't take the gold. He didn't take the goats, and they survived on rutabagas and cabbages and parsnips. And to this day, what I learned is that is actually now, and this is where science is coming along, it's pretty far out, that's really what heals us. I don't think a dead goat is really going to heal us very well. It might satisfy the reptilian minds of people that are in charge, and that's what they hoist on us. So Jared Winstanley saw it as an act of anti-imperialism, living on a plant-based lifestyle. And to this day, you can trace it. He's the one, by the way, that came up with the term bloodless revolutionary. It wasn't. So to this day, modern-day PETA is an offshoot of that and other things.
Let's hold that thought right there. This is food as revolution, food as activism. We're going to talk Pythagoras when we get back. You're listening to Mad as Hell in America. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Bo Rinaldi, realpowerfoods.com.
To the doctor and the good doctor said,
wow, what is this horrible place?
This is a factory farm, Leon. Places like this are where most eggs, milk, and meat come from.
How did this happen?
I'll show you. In the mid-20th century, greedy agriculture corporations began modifying sustainable family farming to maximize their profits at great cost to both humans and animals. Factory farming was born. That is the Matrix, Leon. The lie we tell ourselves about where our food comes from.
Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. That was a clip from something called The Matrix, which is kind of brilliant. It's been around for a while. I may be one of those old guys going, hey, have you heard of this? And everybody already has. But if you have heard of it, you want to revisit it. It's called The Matrix, and it's a takeoff on The Matrix. And there's a pig who's called Leo, not Neo, and Mufius, who's a cow dressed like Lawrence Fishburne, comes to him and says, I'm going to show you what's really going on here. And there's this myth of the family farm. It no longer exists. It's all big agribusiness. And he lays out this case for what's happening to our animals and what's happening to farming and the conditions and what has essentially become the food industrial complex. And the reason we're talking about that is our guest is Bo Rinaldi, who is a dedicated vegan for the past 50 years. He is the vendor, the mind and heart behind Real Power Foods at realpowerfoods.com, which is the site. He is on a mission to change the world with food. He knows everything there is to know about this. He is also in his heart a revolutionary, which is another reason he is here. We're glad to have you. Bo Rinaldi, welcome back to the show.
Okay, further disclaimer, I know nothing. I'm still learning, and there's a lot to learn, but
that's
thank
the
you.
Spirit.
You are lit up, man.
That's the spirit, man.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk, I want to talk about a little bit about the food industrial complex. I have a clip from Food Inc. That I want to play. But we were going to, Pythagoras factors into this. So before we get into some of that conversation, tell me, before the break, I said we were going to talk about Pythagoras. How does Pythagoras factor into this kind of food as activism as
right.
well-being?
Right, so 12-year-old, 13-year-old, you know, there's not a lot of vegetarians in my school. As a matter of fact, the term vegetarian was not coined until 1862. Before that, we were called Pythagoreans.
Huh.
Okay, so I'm in the Encyclopedia Britannica. At this point, I'm looking up who's a vegetarian. There's like Gandhi and Einstein and actually a guy here in Portland, a very famous researcher was there, and Albert Schweitzer and Pythagoras. And so I started studying Pythagoras, and he's in my geometry class. So now not only is he in my geometry book in mathematics— I'm now in the kitchen, and I'm reading about Pythagoras in my encyclopedia, and I find out he comes up with the law of seven, the law of colors, the theory of the rainbow, the theory of music, the idea that war is unethical, that killing is unethical, which basically is what your Matrix is about. Right. All of this is unethical, and lights are starting to dawn on me. I'm finding my heart is opening up because I'm leading a very compassionate lifestyle now. I'm not killing anything.
So you're feeling differently. Suddenly connected.
Women are loving me. I'm healthier than you can believe. I have a glowing person. I'm on a full-on, like, plant-based lifestyle. I'm a vegan, and I am not really thinking about anything except just enjoying myself. And so what's important for the mothers and fathers out there is to realize I was a 12-year-old kid. I was sick. I cured myself by being in the kitchen myself.
Are you cooking your own food at 12?
Yeah, I'm making my own food. I'm sourcing the food. My mother would take me to, there was one health food store in Southern California. Right. I kid you not, at that time, at least that I knew of. And there was one other, and there was one restaurant. And so the activism began because as I'm reading about Pythagoras, who now I'm studying about pi and the, you know, the whatever it is, the theorems of hypotenuse and such. It turns out he comes up with the golden mean. He's a mystic. And it turns out that he goes to India and he meets with the rishis. And the rishis tell him, and these are these light beings, they're above the Brahmins in India, because it all starts in Mother India,
right?
Essentially. I mean, even China, everything that you have from the world starts from that fertile.
That was a hell of a trip in Pythagorean times.
They walked it, but not, yeah, they just walk it. All of his people, you can kind of picture them walking and just talking and hanging out under the tree and eating whatever they eat. It's a very different kind of style. He was seen as a god. He was like 6 foot tall. He would be 100 years old. He meets these rishis. They are light beings. They're translucent beings. These people tell him that living on a plant-based diet will be the fastest way to your own illumination. That's what all Pythagoras cares about, is putting the whole universe into numbers.
Right.
He tried to figure out how the whole universe goes together in numbers. The Secret, the Da Vinci Code, all these things. Leonardo da Vinci became a Pythagorean. There's a lot to it. So you could see that it permeated me in my activism, understanding about the color of food, the nature of food. I don't really know how it all works. I think it's really weird that we even have food. I mean, that we even eat food and he said there's what you do is you assimilate and you eliminate. So Pythagoras had the 33 edicts that were co-opted by other people. And he said, as above, so below.
Right.
First tenet of mysticism. These are not reptilian minds. Okay. These are illuminated minds. And so what I figured by doing the food that we're doing here, this colorful, delicious food, we can play on other illuminated minds. So when I lived in Silicon Valley, here, wherever I go, my observation is that it's kind of like the higher up you go, the bigger the idiot factor or the bigger the illumination factor. And so we can illuminate people like Steve Wynn that run casinos. He's putting in a major casino in Macau. He's going to have a big old vegan restaurant there for all the Chinese gamblers. I kid you not.
Right on.
They just announced it, I think, yesterday. So basically what we do is we try to just take the angst out of it and take all this war, you know, in peace thing, this battle. I don't want to be on anybody's terror list. I became a compassionate individual, a nonviolent individual, a mad individual, but mad is differentiated as upset, not angry, not in fear, mad that this is happening and I have to do something about it.
Right. But that is the core of what Mad as Hell is about. I say that all the time, that the essence of it lies behind. The next line, he says, I'm a human being. I played it earlier. I'm a human being. My life has value. We stand up against the injustice that we see. We get mad as hell because it demands that we respond. And so I'm thinking of your story in this context. Someone who's sick, you're a sickly kid, you discover the solution, and then your response is to make that your mission. And it's a very individual response. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. So in that spirit, let's talk about Real Power Foods. What's going on there? So you have a lifetime of activism around food. I get it. It's like food as enlightenment, diet as enlightenment. In a minute, I want to talk a little bit about the food industrial complex, but I want to make sure we get time for the work that you're doing now with Real Power Foods. What's up with that?
Okay, so I was able to retire out of Silicon Valley in 2000, okay? I was in Silicon Valley for 15 years as a talent agent for software superstars. And I worked with Steve Jobs and Reed Hastings, the guy that started Netflix, all these amazing guys at the top. And what I found was people were always hungry to know what to do. And how do I do it? How do we make food that's so delicious, so simple? How do you make meals for a dollar a meal? And we put in cafeterias there. We did all kinds of things. In 2002, my wife has a vision to go to Kauai, swim with the dolphins. You always go with a wife's vision. We're going to Kauai to swim with the dolphins. I'd never been on Kauai. I'd lived on Maui, Oahu, done a lot of health food stores, actually. There are some that are still going. Never been on Kauai. The day we land there, a person by the name of Mark Reinfeld, who was this kind of Indian sadhu guy, he was in a dhoti cloth, he had taken a vow of silence, he had opened something called the Blossoming Lotus, and he and a group of maybe 20 people were basically living this dream. They were infusing the food from Kauai, which is one of the purest places on earth, with this incredible energy, and they had some of the best vegan cuisine I'd ever seen. Well, one thing led to another, and we ended up investing in that and growing that. And
starting a partnership with Mark Reinfeldt,
yes,
right?
And then everybody here, obviously, you know, partially employee-owned operation here with all the people that I have to give a shout-out to all the people at Blossoming Lotus here and all the customers that we have in this town. We serve thousands of people every day, and it is a pure pleasure. It's just bliss for us.
I love it.
It's also a lot of friggin' hard work. So,
but it's a great restaurant. I love it. I have some friends of mine who are vegan or living a plant-based lifestyle. I meet them there all the time.
The props go for all the people that are really running. We keep a lot of people employed and feed a lot of people, and there's a lot of people that really need to have wellness as part of their, you know, top part of their agenda, and that's what we try to serve. And basically, it's an end-to-end solution, just so you know. We support the farmers in a way where the farmers bring us food, or we get the food from our distributors. We pay the farmers more than they would get from the major food hubs. Our food is out of the ground one day fresh. That's what makes the difference. We can organize that when you think about it. You put your mind in the creative force of what it takes to deliver it. Food comes from the ground on your plate the next day. That's a healing plate of food, and that's what we try to deliver. So what happened was, with Mark Reinfeldt, we started something called Vegan Fusion, Vegan World Fusion. We want to travel the world.
Is that your term? You coined this Vegan Fusion?
Yeah, I did, but I don't take any credit for it. Mark and I
did. But it's your term.
It is, yeah.
Okay, so what is it?
It's the idea that we could take the best of all of humanity, the enlightened aspects of humanity, all the best of the world's cultures in terms of food, mores, and put it together in something that was extremely tasty, that was layered in with flavors, layered in with maybe the different religions of the world, layered in with all the different artifacts of culture of the of these people. So we had a cookbook, Vegan World Fusion Cuisine. It won 9 awards. It was Cookbook of the Year in 2005, the best cookbook of the year in 2005. First time a vegan book had ever done that. Martha Stewart flew me to New York to win a surprise, you know. Whatever. But the whole idea was that we could bring together the world's people. See, we were very concerned and are very concerned about, I don't even think companies exist. I don't think countries exist. I only think people exist. So I just celebrate the human spirit.
Right on.
I think people need to rise up. And one way we rise up is to declare ourselves and not be part of this whole kind of deep set matrix of a monetary, food, travel, health system that's basically co-opting us.
And making us sick.
Well, it truly makes us sick. Matter of fact, if you go to our website, realpowerfoods.com, there's something they can just roam around. It's a membership site. So what we did is and this is Mark Reinfeldt. He basically is a very steady gentleman. He had done menu plans for spas around the world, all vegan-based, all organic vegan-based cuisine. He had literally put together a cooking class where he'd traveled around the world, literally Belize and Peru and Greece, all over the world. To people that own spas, people that have resorts, people that have hotels, Amsterdam, went to a cooking school, and literally is teaching people how to do this. He has a methodical course. It's an immersion of 10 days. $1,500 for the class. People have to be pretty well healed to do it. It's a $5,000 out-of-pocket by the time they fly to Amsterdam, check it all out. It's an experience. It's transcendental. They can go to veganfusion.com to check it out. What I decided to do is I wanted to put that online. So we brought Mark into Portland, put him into our professional kitchen, brought in our team, shout out to the team, and we actually filmed it and put it all up on a website, Real Power Foods, to help people reclaim their power. There's like 22 videos, the manual that he actually uses for the $1,500 class, a bunch of gives, another killer manual, all kinds of weird things that people need to know about. David Kessler from the FDA, I have a secret interview that he gave that was not given in the United States. He said, the head of the FDA, sugar is the downfall of Western civilization. I have that quoted on there. And a lot of stuff. So people can see they're not
alone. They go to realpowerfoods.com. We're talking to Bo Rinaldi of realpowerfoods.com and a whole lot of other things about food as revolution, food as activism, and food as enlightenment. I love the spirit, this whole idea of infusing food with you know, trans-religious, trans-political, you know, the idea that we're going to bring in all the colors, all the folds, all the aromas, all the textures of humanity, and bring people together with this food idea. How powerful. It sustains us. It's an amazing, powerful concept. I've seen the cookbook. It's beautiful. So at Real Power Foods, what is it, a course or what?
That's great. Basically, if they opt in, so it's an internet site, right? So it's an internet membership site. If they opt in, they get free recipes and contact with me. If they buy the course, which is $97 to buy it, it's a self-paced course. They have it whenever they like it. So the videos, it's all state-of-the-art. The videos are up there. New videos are put up all the time. We have guest chefs that come up and give us, you know, the benefit of their cuisine, their knowledge. People that are interested in how to heal themselves, get off the hamster wheel of paying for what I think are meds and processed foods and other things that are killing us that really want to learn how to heal themselves. We try to show them everything. And then we also have an inner circle. We have free webinars. It's part of our outreach. And it's been up for 4 months. We have about 700 members now, 3.5 months. We have about 700 members right now. And the idea is we wrote The Complete Idiot's Guide to Raw Food.
Right.
We have all these other books, which, again, I'm just kind of a, hopefully, somewhat of a clear light channel on this.
I hope it's really
about the give back. So the idea is that people can learn how to do this easily. It goes from very simple to very advanced. We have a lot of our raw food techniques in there. And the idea is that people feel alone. For as long as I've been doing this, I'm in the one percentile. We are still in the one percentile. Only 1% of
vegans.
Maybe 1.5%. There's 10% we call wannabes. These would be vegetarians, part-time vegetarians, vegetarian warriors.
That's me.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm below the one point. We're going to segue
to you for a second because, you know, I studied with a lot of people, you know, and I have story after story, as you could imagine, on this. And I feel like I've helped with all of our people and all of our outreach transform millions of people's lives. But it's only as good as people doing it themselves, bringing their kids into the kitchen, maybe pouring a glass of wine for themselves, lighting a candle, putting on some music, let the kids see how to handle a knife, turn on a flame, do a dehydrator, play with the shapes of food, the colors of food, textures of food, and find out that is a healing experience, and not be uptight about it, but learn that food does not come out of a grocery store, kids. It comes out of the ground. Let them go play in the dirt.
We're talking to Bo Rinaldi. If you've got a call, or if you've got a comment, a question for Bo Rinaldi, realpowerfoods.com, number 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. We will be right back with your calls and a little thing we call the food industrial complex. Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. We are talking with Bo Rinaldi of Real Power Foods, realpowerfoods.com. This is a committed vegan, someone who believes that the revolution will come in the form of enlightenment and that the highest form of enlightenment can come from the food that we eat and what we put in our bodies and how it raises us up, which is what we need to do in this culture. We need to rise up. If you have a comment or a question, are you a vegan? Do you want to know more about Real Power Foods, more about Bo Rinaldi? Give us a call here, 503-248-0620 or 1-866-452-0620. This is the last segment. It goes by fast. If you've got a comment, do it now. I'll put you in. Now, Bo, I want to give you a parting shot. Bo Rinaldi, we were talking at the break. I asked you if there's one last thing you want to say because this segment goes fast. What do you want to say, man?
Right on. So listen, what I think you're doing is profound, okay? You're helping small businesses in this town. You're helping us sustain ourselves by doing shout-outs all over. People are right. Homes are being foreclosed on. Farms are being foreclosed on. We need to help our local farmers, help our local businesses, support ourselves in a way that you're supporting me right now, what we're doing. And in that way, take a look at what is sustainable as our humanity. Not only is it not cool to kill, it takes a lot more courage to be kind. So you can be mad, but you can be kind. And you can all be revolutionaries by learning what it takes to literally live off the grid, even in your own neighborhood. You don't have to be part of the kind of processed food thing or the medical establishment or the whole idea of, you know, getting food from China, because 70% of your food's coming from China, people. Whether or not you know it, it's all co-opted. Find out where it's coming from. It sounds trivial, but it's really, it's Senjuko Roshi, a very famous Zen Buddhist, goes, when I make food for you, it's not about making food for you. It's about everything. And so 70% of the food is this imported food. Over 55, 60% of our economy is around food. Food, transportation, medicine. The people that bring you all these things, that bring you GMO, that bring you the basically, you know, the things, the pesticides, et cetera, these are all the same people. They are the Donald Rumsfeld people. They sit on these boards. We need ingenuity. We need our kids to come out, the gamers. We need the Silicon Valley people, the TED conference people that are coming up with ingenuity and innovation. Everybody needs to think about what is the solution, whether it's bartering, whether it's getting into vermiculture. There's something called vermiculture, which is, you know.
Yeah, I know exactly what it is.
Whether it's veganics, which is really the next level here. Oregon can be a place where you can actually grow your own. You don't have to buy drugs from, you know, cartels down in Mexico or Peru. You don't have to be part of the establishment, but you can actually win people over and be a kind of a local bloodless revolutionary wherever you go, by whatever you do. Bring the kids into it. Get the, I think, teenagers involved. They really vibe this whole idea about learning how to empower yourself. So we like to think that what we did in the 60s was we brought an idealism about. We tried to make love, not war. We literally succeeded in many ways, and I think we need to do it again at the nth level. And, baby, you're on testosterone, and if our president does not get some cojones, because he's co-opted by the reptilians. He's co-opted by the military-industrial complex. If he cannot wage war, he has no... You know, Martin Marietta or Lockheed or Aerojet, they're not laying off people, okay?
Right.
They're not letting anybody go. And the street is his big fear. If he keeps the street going, he's fine. We have three parties. We have the Tea Party. They're going to go down. The so-called...
I don't think of them as a third party, but you're right.
They're the ones. They're dividing everything. So we have religion in our state. We have politics in our home. We have all of this stuff. And the only way we can do it is by being a voice like you are, supporting the local businesses, working together, doing the local thing, but in a way where we realize it actually is profound. Everybody makes a difference. Buckminster Fuller used a term called the trim tab factor. Bucky, who came up with the, you know, geodesic dome, if you look up the trim tab factor, it's the little rudder on the back of the big rudder on the back of the complete ocean liner. You're that trim tab factor. You make that little shift right there. So you help that farmer. You shift that whole ocean liner. You could end up in Hawaii rather than, you know, out there in China somewhere. And literally... No offense to anybody, but we have to reclaim our lands. We have to reclaim our people. We have to reclaim our economy. And the way it happens is keep it at home. Barter. Grow your own on all levels and be together, because we are not going to be able to do it alone.
I got a call here. Tom, we got about 2 minutes. Tom, welcome to Mad as Hell in America. You're with Adam Klugman and Bo Rinaldi, realpowerfoods.com. What's up? Tom, are you there? Tom?
Yes.
Yeah, you're on with Mad as Hell in America. Okay, Bo Rinaldi, what's up?
I'm always a backslider. I have sort of aspirations to sort of be vegan or something, but it never quite works out. But one of the things that bothers me is I try to eat kind of a relatively low-fat meals. And what I seem to think of when I go into, like, vegan places and things like that is I don't think vegans believe in fat as long as it's, like, olive oil or something. And is there such a thing as low-fat vegan cooking?
Actually, it's
a great question.
Yeah, actually, one of the concerns in the raw food movement is the fat is too high. So I have the book, and you can just go look at it on Amazon, Complete Idiot's Guide to Raw Food. Sometimes the fat is over 30%. The dietary guidelines are 30% fat. We want to keep our fat down to about 10%. You want to keep your fat and your protein down to a degree. All the fats that we have are what you call the good fats, the transporter fats, the omegas 3, 6s, and 9s, especially from hemp seeds and flax seeds and this kind of thing. We're not a low-fat diet, and we're not a fat... We're not a side dish kind of diet. If you go into one of our places or just look at anything that we offer, your nuts and seeds, your avocados, they're pure.
Tom, thanks for the call. We got our last 30 seconds here with Mad as Hell in America. Bo Rinaldi, I'm going to do the Real Power Foods. I'm going to join up. I'm an aspiring vegan, an off-the-wagon, on-the-wagon vegetarian. I've always been looking to transform my life through diet. I'm going to do it. You're going to help me. Thank you all for listening to Mad as Hell in America. We will be back next week. Remember to get mad, stay
Viva
mad.
La revolution.
Give them hell.